Okay, let's go. We're on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, towards the bottom, the two dots. The Mishnah said, "Lo yochah basav lo yishne yayin." That on erev Tisha B'Av, right by the Sudam Afsekes. We discussed a little bit yesterday in terms of, is it the Sudam Afsekes? Is it after Chatzos? Is it both? But you're not allowed to eat meat and drink wine erev Tisha B'Av. So zok the Brisa Tanda. But you're allowed to eat salty meat, and you're allowed to drink wine right off of the press, right off of the wine press. So Rashi explains that right off of the wine press, the wine is very sweet, and it's not that good. So that's why you're allowed to eat it. You're allowed to drink it because it's not really doing much for you. The Gemara asks, "Basa maliach ad kama?" So, how salted does the meat have to be considered basa maliach? If I just sprinkle a little salt, is that basa maliach? The Gemara says, "No." Amar Rav Chinan of Bar Kahana, Mishmei de Shmuel, calls man shehu kishlamim. As long as it's like a shlam, so a shlamim can be eaten for, I think it's 2 days and one night. If I'm not mistaken, I might be mistaken about that. But basically, as long as it's sitting in the salt, the amount of time that a shlamim can be eaten, so that's called salted meat. A salted meat has to be salted for like a couple of days. We're not talking about you just sprinkled a little salt in it. Keep in mind that they used to preserve meat by salting it. Right? They would salt the meat, that would preserve it. So this was like in the process of preservation, you're allowed to eat that meat once it's been salted. V'yayin migito ad kama, wine that's straight off of the press, at what point is it considered to be okay? So the Gemara says, calls mansha hutoseis, as long as it's fermenting. If the wine is still fermenting, so then it's okay. Once it's been completely fermented, and now it's a good wine, so that's problematic. But as long as it's still fermenting, it's okay. Next, Brisa tells us, Tana, yayin toseis ein bo mishum gilui. The Brisa says that a wine that is fermenting is not subject to the prohibition of giloy. What's giloy? Giloy means that it used to be that if any liquid was left uncovered overnight, you wouldn't be able to drink that liquid. Why? Because we were nervous that maybe a venomous snake was nearby and injected some of the venom into the liquid. So nowadays we don't really live near venomous snakes, so we're not so concerned about that. But in places where they did, they were concerned about it. So that used to be also. So if it's yayin toseis, if it's fermenting wine, then there's no problem. Why? Because no snake is going to go near fermenting wine. It, like, you know, it bothers the snakes. They don't go near it, so it's okay. Asks the Brice of a kamatasi saso, how long does it take for the wine to ferment? Yimo yamin takes 3 days for the wine to ferment. Okay. Zok de gemar vayta. Amar Rav Yehuda marav, kachayim in hagoshal Rav Yehuda b'Rabbi Eloi. This is what he would do. Erev Tisha B'Av, on Erev Tisha B'Av, mivin lo pas chareva b'melach, they would bring him dry bread. Chareva means dry. They'd bring him dry bread with salt. The Yoshev, turning the page, bein tanor l'kirayim, he would sit on the floor in between the stove and the oven. It was a kind of like an uncomfortable place to sit. V'ochel v'shoseh Ale kiton shamayim, and he would eat and he would drink a little jug of water. Vidoma kimishamesa mutalafanov, and he was like bitsar, he was in distress as if he had just lost a relative. That was his Sudam Afsekes, right? That was how he went into Tisha B'Av, and that's, you know, we're supposed to emulate that to an extent. Zakti Gemara Vaita Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah that teaches us over there. Makum Shinagu Lasas Malacha B'Tisha B'Av Osin. If you live in a place where the custom is to do Malacha on Tisha B'Av, to go to work on Tisha B'Av, so that's the minhag, you can do Malacha. Makum Shinagu Shalo Lasos Ein Osin. But if you live in a place where they do not do Malacha on Tisha B'Av, then you're not allowed to do Malacha. continues the Mishnah. V'chom Makum Tamid Chachamim B'Teilim. And in all places, Talmidei Chachamim do not do Malacha on Tisha B'Av. Right? Even in the places where some people do Malacha, Talmidei Chachamim do not do Malacha on Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, La'olam Yaseh Kol Adam Atzmo K'Talmid Chacham. Interesting, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel comes along and he says that here, everyone should try to act like a Talmid Chacham. Meaning, even if you're not a Talmid Chacham, you should try to act like a Talmid Chacham and not do work, and not go to work on Tisha B'Av. Zok de Gemara Vayta, quoting a Braisa, Tanya Lami Hachi, a person should make himself like a Talmid Chacham so that he should afflict himself. Right? That's the idea. Zog the Gemara Vayta Tanya Yidach, we have another Braisa. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol Ha'ochel V'Shosa B'Tisha B'Av, if a person eats and drinks Chas V'Shalom on Tisha B'Av, Kilo Ochel V'Shosa B'Yom HaKippurim, It's as if he's eating and drinking on Yom Kippur, right? Even though Yom Kippur is d'orais and Tisha B'Av is not, but still, it has the severity, almost as if you're eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kalosa Malacha B'Tisha B'Av, Eina Roa Simin Bracha La'olam. Rabbi Akiva says, that if anyone does Malacha on Tisha B'Av, even in a place where the minhag is to do Malacha on Tisha B'Av, if you do it, you're not going to see any Bracha from that Malacha. It might not be Aser, but you're not going to see any Bracha from that Malacha. The Chachamim Omerim, Kalosa Malacha B'Tisha B'Av, Ve'eino Mis'avel Al Yerushalayim. If a person does Malacha on Tisha B'Av, he goes to work, and he gets distracted, and he does not mourn over Yerushalayim. Eino roe b'simchasa. Ouch! If you don't mourn over Yerushalayim on Tisha B'Av, you're not going to witness the joy of the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, simchu es Yerushalayim v'giluba. Rejoice with Yerushalayim, kol ohaveha, all those that love it. Sisu itam asos kol hamis avlim aleha. Though all those who were misavel on Yerushalayim rejoice with Yerushalayim, with the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Mikan Amru, from here we learn, from here we say, kol misavel al Yerushalayim zochav v'ruah b'simchasa, anyone who mourns properly over Yerushalayim will merit to see the joy of the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. V'she'eino misavel al Yerushalayim eino ro'ah b'simchasa. But anyone who does not mourn properly over Yerushalayim will not merit to see the joy of the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Tanya Rami Achi, we have a braisa to the same effect. Anyone who eats meat and drinks wine, you're not only eating and drinking, but you're eating meat and drinking wine, you're really enjoying yourself. On Tisha B'Av, Olav Hakasu Omer, on him the Pasuk says, Vatihi on Avonosam al Atzmosam. Their sins are on their bones. It's not a good thing. Okay. Zog the Gemara Vayit, according to the line in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev B'Kfiyas Hamitav Alohodu Lo Chacham. If you remember, the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda said on Tisha B'Av, you have to turn over your bed, which was what the Avelim used to do. Now, we don't do this nowadays, but in those days, the Avelim used to turn over their beds. Rabbi Yehuda said that on Tisha B'Av, you have to do the same, you have to act like you're an Avelus. The Chachamim did not agree with him. So there's a question in the Gemara, how exactly to understand this Machlokas. Tanya, the Braisa, teaches us, Amru lo Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, Lidvarecha, according to you, right, that you have to turn over your bed on Tisha B'Av. Ubros umenikos matahele. And what are you going to do with pregnant and nursing women? Pregnant and nursing women can't sleep on the floor. They can't sleep in an overturned bed. So what are you going to do with pregnant and nursing women? Amar lahem. So Rabbi Yehuda responded to the Chachamim, whoa, afanilo amarti ele biyachol. I'm only talking about someone who can. Right, a regular healthy person who, you know, he can sleep on the floor, so turn over the bed and sleep on the floor. Right? But obviously, if you have a woman, a pregnant nursing woman who can't do that, I never said that they have to do that. Tanya Nabiyachu, we have a braisa like this also. The braisa states, Moda Rabbi Yehuda l'chachamim she'eno yachol. That Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the chachamim in a case of eno yachol, in a case where you have a person who cannot sleep on an overturned bed. He says it's okay, they don't have to turn over their bed. Umodim chachamim Rabbi Yehuda b'yachol. And the braisa says, and very interesting, that the chachamim agree. The Chachamim agree to Rabbi Yehuda by Eino Yachol. Right? That if you have a case of Eino Yachol, where you have Ubros Umenikos, you have a pregnant and nursing women, where they cannot sleep on an overturned bed, so then the Chachamim agree that you do have to overturn the mattress. Okay. Now what's strange about this Brice, the way the Brice presents the Machlokas, is that there is no Machlokas. Right? They each agree to each other in the different cases. So it's all a matter of what case you're talking about. If it's possible, everyone agrees, overturn the bed. If it's not possible, everyone agrees, do not overturn the bed. So what's the machlokas? That's what the Gemara asks. My benayu. So what is the machlokas? So says the Gemara, according to this braisa, ika benayu, what's the machlokas? She'ar mitos. The machlokas is, what about the other beds in the house that are not occupied? Let's say you have a guest room, and you have beds that are not being slept in the house. So then, that's the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Kide Tanya, as the braisa teaches us, kisha'amru lichvos hamita. When this is by Avelus, when they taught us that you have to overturn your bed, lo mitaso bilvad hu kofe, you don't only overturn your bed, hela kol amitos kulan, you overturn all the beds in the house. That's what you do during Avelus. Hu kofe, I'm sorry. Amar Rava, okay, so fine. So that's the machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that you overturn all of the beds in the house, right? And the Chacham are of the opinion, you don't have to overturn all the beds in the house. You only have to overturn your beds. Right? The bed that you're sleeping in. But everyone agrees that if it's possible, you overturn your bed. And if it's not possible, you don't overturn your bed. The Machlokas is, what about the other beds in the house? That's how the Braisa understands. Okay. Omar Rava comes and says, Hilchasa Kitanati Dad. Rava says, we don't go like this Braisa. this Braisa that says they basically agree and they're only arguing about the other beds in the house, we don't go with that Braisa. We go with our Mishnah's presentation. Our Mishnah presented the machlokas that they're really arguing, do you have to overturn the beds or not? Right? And we believe that the Chachamim did not agree with him at all. Meaning it's not like they agreed with him in a case of Yachal that you have to overturn the bed. No. Rabbi Huda says you have to overturn the bed on Tishuvah. The Chachamim say you do not. You never have to overturn the bed on Tishuvah. And that's how we pass him. That's why nowadays, right? I mean, nowadays we don't do it anyway, but we don't have this practice. Zok the Gemara Vayta. Quoting the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Yom Tov Li'Yisraki Chamisha Asar Ba'avu Ki Yom HaKippurim. The Mishnah said that Tu Ba'av the 15th of Avon Yom Kippur were the happiest days of the year. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Yom HaKippurim, I understand Yom HaKippurim, Mishum De Isbei Slicha U'Mechila. Right, Yom Kippur, of course, is a joyous day. Why? Because they have Slicha U'Mechila. Right, now everybody's forgiven for their sins, the nation's forgiven. Beautiful, what a happy day. Okay, also in addition, Yom HaKippurim is also Yom Shinit Nubaluchos HaKronos. Right, Yom Kippur is also the day when we got the second set of luchos, gevaldik, right, a cause for joy. Ela tuba of mayhi. What's so happy about tuba of? Right, the 15th of Av. Why are we so excited about tuba of? So the Gemara suggests a few things. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Yom Shehutru Shvatim Lavo Zebazeh. So Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says that tuba of was the day that the Shvatim were allowed to intermarry. What does that mean? So if you remember, after the story of Benos Tzlovchad, the Torah says that women from one Shevet who had inherited property from their father because there were no brothers, cannot marry out of their Shevet. Why? Because if they marry out of their Shevet, then the Shevet loses the land. Right? The Shevet loses the land. Because if they marry into a different Shevet, now the new Shevet is going to get that land. Right? So therefore, anybody who had inherited land was not allowed to marry out of the Shevet. But then, at a certain point, on Tu B'Av, they were matir, the Shvatim, and they said, no, that only applied in the generation of the Slavchad, but nowadays it's okay. And that happened on Tu B'Av, that was a cause of great simcha, that now there was much more, you know, there was kind of, I guess, like a you know, somewhat of a shidduch crisis at the time. And now, oh, we can marry different Shvatim, givaldik. My Dorush, well, where do we see that in the Pasuk? So the Pasuk says in Bamidbar, that this was the thing that Hashem commanded to the daughters of Tzlavchad, that they're not allowed to marry out of their Shevet. So they darsh in the Pasuk that this prohibition of a woman who inherited land not marrying out of her Shevet, so that only applies to this generation, the generation of Benos Tzlavchad, but not after that. Okay, so that's one option why Tubav is a happy day. Option number two, Amrav Yosef Amrav Nachman, Yom Shehuto Shevet Binyamin Lava Bakohol. This was the day that Shevet Binyamin was allowed to enter into Klal Yisrael, to marry into Klal Yisrael. Why was Shevet Binyamin Aser? So if you remember the story from Pilegesh Begiva, right, the terrible story of Pilegesh Begiva, how this woman was treated and she was abused, and therefore Shevet Binyamin did not take care of this woman. And therefore, the entire Jewish people made a decree that Shevet Binyamin is not allowed to marry into the rest of the Jewish people. Right? That was a decree. That decree at some point was lifted. When that decree was lifted, it was on Tu B'Av, and it was a very happy day when that decree was lifted. How do we see that? Says the Pasuk, Shenemar, V'ish Yisrael Nishba B'Mitzpah Le'mor, Ish Mimena Lo'item Bito Le'Binyamin Le'isha. The Pasuk in Shoft in Perek Chaf Aleph, that says that the Jewish people took an oath, and they said that nobody is allowed to give their daughter to a man from Binyamin to marry. My dorosh, where do we learn that that was lifted? Amarav mimenu velo mibanein. This oath will only apply to that generation, but to the next generation they were allowed to. They finally allowed the people of Binyamin to marry in, and therefore that was a very joyous day. That was the day of Tu B'Av. Continues the Gemara. On the side they have a different girsa here. Either we have Rabba Babar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan. I guess in Bava Basra there's another girsa. Yom Shekalubo Mesei Midbar. Tu B'Av was also the day when the people stopped dying in the Midbar. Right? When all the generation had died out in the Midbar, that happened on Tu B'Av. The Amar Mar, Achelo Kalu Mesei Midbar Lohaya Dibor Im Moshe. Until all of the people in the Midbar died off, Hashem didn't speak to Moshe one-on-one until that happened. Shneimar, the Pasuk says, Vayhi kasher tamu kol anshei ha-melacha lamus, vayidaber Hashem Eloi. Right? That once everybody died, so then Moshe says, then Hashem spoke to me. Eloi haya hadibor, right? The dibor came to me, meaning me alone, and not with everybody else. Okay. So that's another cause for Simchan Tu B'Av. Another cause, I'm losing track here. I think we're up to the fourth one. Ula Amar Yom Shabitel Yehoshea ben Ela Prustios Shehoshiv Yeravam ben Nevat. This was the day that Hoshea ben Ela dismantled the checkpoints of Yeravam ben Nevat. If you remember, we discussed this a couple days ago. Yeravam ben Nevat made checkpoints al hadrachim on the road. Shelo yalu Yisrael l'regel. Yeravam ben Nevat wanted to prevent people from going to Aliyah l'regel, so he made these checkpoints. Hoshea ben Ela, who was not a good person, by the way. Hoshea ben Ela was also a Rasha, but he removed the checkpoints. Why did he remove the checkpoints? Because this also stopped people from going to different Avodah Zaros. So he removed the checkpoints so that people at least could choose. You could choose to go Aliyah l'regel, you could choose to go worship Avodah Zarah. Huh? It's not a great thing, because he was enabling people to do Avodah Zarah, but Lamaisa, but he also let them go Aliyah l'regel, and that's why we rejoice on that day, because it was, in Lamaisa, it was a good thing. Okay? The Amar Le'ezeh She'yirtzu Yalu. That's what Yehoshua ben Ela said. Yeah, you know, wherever they want, they should go up. You know, if they want to go up to the Beis HaMikdash, great. If they want to go up to Avodah Zarah, also good. Zogt Gemara, a fifth possibility of something, again, these are not necessarily possibilities. There's just all different causes. All these good things happened on Tu B'Av. Continues the Gemara. Rav Nasna Amar Yom Shenidnu Haruge Beitar LeKavura. This was the day, Tu B'Av was the day that the people who were killed in Beitar were given to Kvura. They were allowed to be buried, right? If you remember, the people of Beitar were killed, and the Romans did not allow the Jews to bury the people who had been killed in Beitar for some time. And there were miracles that the bodies did not decompose. They remained in the way that they were. And then finally, Kal Yisrael were allowed to bury the people. The Yom Rav Masna, Osa Yom Sheninu Aruge Beitar LeKvura, Tiknu B'Yavna HaTov V'Ametiv. On the day that the Haruge Beitar were allowed to be buried, right away Chazal established a new bracha and benching, Hatov Ve'Ametiv. That's when the bracha of Hatov Ve'Ametiv was established. Why Hatov Ve'Ametiv? Hatov Shelo Hisrichu. Kodesh Baruch Hu is good that he did not allow the bodies to decompose. Ve'Ametiv Shenitnu L'Kvura. And Hashem is Metiv because he enabled the bodies to be buried. Zog to Gemara Vayter, Rabba v'Rav Yosef. Rabba v'Rav Yosef offered a sixth possibility as to why we're happy on Tu B'Av. The Amri Tarvar, they both say, Yom Shepasku Milichos Eitzim L'Ma'arocha. This was the day on which they stopped chopping wood for the Mizbeach. Right? So they finished the job of chopping wood for the Mizbeach. It was also a very joyous occasion. And therefore, they were very happy on that day. The Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, HaGadol Omer, Michamisha Sabe'ah Ve'Eilach, Toshash Kocha Shelchama. Very interesting. Why did they stop chopping wood on the 15th of Av? Because the 15th of Av, which if you think about it, is in the summer. So he says from that point, the sun begins to weaken. The sun begins to weaken. The days begin to get shorter around the 15th of Av. Okay, there's less sunlight during the day. And therefore, after the 15th of Av, they didn't chop any more wood for the Mizbeach. Because the wood was not as dry as it should be. Right when the sun is in full force in Eretz Yisrael, it dries out the wood. But once the sun starts to weaken a little bit, or there's less hours of daylight, so then the wood is not as dry. So they didn't want to use that for the Beis HaMikdash. Umarav Menashe, Avukaru LeYom Tavar Magal. They used to call that day the day of the breaking of the axe. Not that literally the axes broke, but that the axes, you know, took a break. The axes were not in service anymore because they stopped chopping wood. Mikan Ve'Elach, from this point on, from Chamisha Asar Be'av, from the 15th of Av and on, Demosif Yosef, Rashi explains, that a person who adds to his night seder, right, he adds hours to his learning at night, Yosef will live long. Why? Because again, the idea here is that there are fewer, the day is getting shorter. So the day is getting shorter, we're not going to be able to learn as much during the day. So you have to add on more hours at night to learn. So if you add on more hours at night to learn, you increase your night seder. Oh, Yosef, you're going to have increased life. Udala Mosif, but if you don't add on to your learning at night, so then, you know, whatever your girsa here is, Yosef or Yosef, which basically means that you're going to die young. You're going to die young. Not a good thing. My Yosef, what does it mean? Yosef. Amar Rav Yosef, Tikbirei Ime, your mother's going to bury you. Yikes. Right? Not a good thing. Because you're not adding on to your learning. The day's getting shorter, and you're not adding on to your learning at night. Come on, Jake. Huh? I don't know.
It was different because they could only work during the day when there was light. Right.
Now, if we work whatever the hours are, it's not...
You gotta learn as much as possible. That's the bottom line here. Zakta Gemara Vayter, here we go. So the Mishnah also said that on Tu B'Av, if you remember, they had all these dances. Remember, they had the prom on Tu B'Av. Right? The ladies would come out. Okay?
So Zakta...
Hey, relax, Jake. Okay. Says the Gemara. Shebohen Benos Yerushalayim Chulei. Okay, so the Benos Yerushalayim used to come out. Zakta B'Raisa Tanu Rabbanon Bas Melech Shoelas. And if you remember, the Mishnah also said they used to borrow clothing from one another. Right? Why? Because they didn't want to embarrass anyone who didn't have a nice dress. So everybody used to borrow. They didn't wear their own dresses. They used to borrow dresses. Tan rabbanon bas melech shavelas mi bas kohen. Now, who does a bas melech borrow from? Who does the princess borrow from? She's the most, significant woman in the whole kingdom, right? So it says that the bas melech used to borrow from the bas kohen. The bas kohen gadol. She used to borrow from the daughter of the kohen gadol, right? Because he was like the next most chashuv. Bas kohen gadol mi bas gan. The Bas Kohen Gadol used to borrow from the assistant Kohen Gadol. Right? There was an assistant Kohen Gadol that in case the Kohen Gadol died on Yom Kippur. Huh? Nobody would borrow from the king's daughter. Just can't borrow her dresses. Okay? Ubas Gan, Mibas Mashuach Milchama, the daughter of the assistant Kohen Gadol, would borrow from the daughter of the Mashuach Milchama. Who is the Mashuach Milchama? He was a special Kohen that was appointed to give the pep talks. Before they went out to war. The pump-up speech. Yeah, there was a special Kohen. They used to give the pump-up speech before the war. Okay? So there was also a chashuv position that they used to appoint, and they used to anoint him. It was like a chashuv thing. Okay? Vayter, Ubas Mashuach Milchama, the daughter of the Mashuach Milchama, Mibas Kohen Hedyot. She would borrow from a regular Kohen's daughter. The Kol Yisrael Shaul in Zemizeh, and all the rest of the Jewish people would borrow from each other. Okay? And again, the whole point here was that they shouldn't embarrass the people who didn't have. Right? People who didn't have what to, guys, let's go, don't get distracted. The people who didn't have what to they didn't have dresses, so they used to borrow. Zok de Gemara Vayter, Kolakilim Teunin Tevila. So the Mishnah said that all of the dresses needed Tevila. Needed Tevila. Why? Because if a woman was a Nida, her clothing became Tameh, and that clothing needed Tevila in a mikveh in order to be Metaherit. So they used to be Tovel all the Kalim, because you didn't know what needed Tevila and what did not need Tevila. Amar Rabbi Elazar, so says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar says, Afilu Mikupalin Umonachin Bekufsa. Even if you have clothing that was folded up, and it was placed in the chest of drawers, even that needed tevila. Why? Because again, you didn't want to embarrass, Rashi explains, you didn't want to embarrass someone, a woman who was a Nida and her clothing did need tevila, so this way they just toveled everything. They toveled all the dresses, so that way nobody would be embarrassed, they were a Nida, they weren't a Nida, everybody would be toveled. Okay? Zog de Gemara Vayter. Benos Yisrael Yotos v'cholos bikromin. Okay? Chevra, guys, Chevra, we're trying to learn here. Please keep it down a little bit. Okay, so the Benos Yisrael, what would they do? They would go out and they would dance in the vineyards. Okay, so says the Gemara Tana, very interesting conclusion to the Gemara here. Tana, the Brisa says, Misha ein lo isha nifne l'sham. Right, so all the single guys used to go out and they used to look for a mate. They used to look for a shidduch in the vineyards. So says the Gemara Vayitam, Yuchasel Shebahen Hayu Omros, Bachar V'chulei. So Tanu Rabbanan. So the Braisa breaks down what the Mishnah already said something, but the Braisa breaks it down a little bit more. Tanu Rabbanan. Yof Yof Yo Shebahen, Mahayu Omros. The good looking girls, what would they say? Tanu Einechem Leofi. They would say, hey guys, look at the beauty. And the good looking girls would say, guys, look at the beauty. Shein Ha'isha Leofi. Right, a wife, you want a beautiful wife, so take a look, right? Come take a look at the beauty. Okay, that was for the beautiful girls. Miuchasel Shebahen Mahayu Omros. What are the girls who came from good mishpachos? They came from chashuva, chashuva families. So what did they say? Tenuei neichem lemishpacha. They would say, oh, look, I'm the daughter of such and such. I'm the granddaughter of such and such, right? They would say, look at the yichus, look at the mishpacha. Why? Fishayno yishel lebanim. Because we're going to have children. I'm going to have children, and my children are going to be miuchasos. They're going to be miuchasos. They're going to be a descendant after these chashuva people. Let's say the girls who were not the best looking, right? What did they say? They said, "Kechu mikchem l'shum shamayim." They said, "You get married l'shem shamayim. You're not getting married for these ulterior motives. You get married l'shem shamayim." Okay. But they said, but Lamaisa, you know, at least give us some, you know, at least give us some jewelry afterwards. Rashi explains, you know, once you marry us, give us some jewelry. We'll wear the jewelry, okay? You know, nice clothing and nice jewelry. Amar Ula Biras. Ula Biras says, Amar Rabbi Lazar. Listen to this, Rabbi Yisai. This is how the Masechta ends. Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asos Mechol HaTzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu eventually is going to make a circle with all of the Tzadikim. V'hu Yoshev Beinehem BeGan Eden. And he's going to sit right in the middle in Gan Eden. Right? So this is how Gan Eden looks. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits in the middle. All the Tzadikim sit around him. Oh. V'chol Echad V'yechad Mare Be'etzbo. And everybody points to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Shenemar, and the Pasuk says, V'omer Bayom Hahu. We say on that day, Hinei Elokeinu Zeh, this is our God, Kivinu Lo, we hoped for him, V'yoshienu, and he saved us. Zeh Hashem Kivinu Lo, Nagilo V'nismucha B'shuvaso, this is the God that we love, that we hoped for, we should rejoice and be happy in his salvation. Hadron Alech B'shlosh Shafrakim, Uslik Olam HaSeches, Tainus.